Today's episode of The Grey Lodge is Twin Peaks Season 3, aka Twin Peaks The Return, Part 4. Bring back some memories, which will do exactly that. Today we're going to talk about higher divine guidance leading our characters on a journey. More King Arthur symbolism. Owls are still not what they seem, neither is Mr. C. Pine cones, gum references, shadows, mirrors, and we've officially got a blue rose case. Stick with me, folks. You're in the Grey Lodge. We're talking about Twin Peaks. Now we start out. We're at the Silver Mustang Casino. Dougie, he's still crushing the slot machines. And the manager's freaking out because he's hit 29 mega jackpots so far. The 30th mega jackpot comes when Dougie tells a homeless woman which slot machine will hit next. Because recall, he's able to have this vision of the entrance to the red room, the waiting room, whatever you want to call it, the lodge. And he sees it right above the machine, which is going to hit. And he helps her out. Now, something I caught in somewhere in my journeys of looking at Twin Peaks stuff. I can't claim that I came up with this, but someone mentioned that the slot machines are, I guess they used to call them, like when you had the handle that you would pull, they'd call it the arm, the one arm. So I found that interesting, right? Because you've got the casino slot machines being implemented by Dougie, and you've got the one-armed man, which is Mike, which actually makes an appearance called a one-armed bandit. There you go. Sorry, I had to look that up. they called him a one-armed bandit. And you've got Mike, which is they call the one-armer. Thought that was interesting because Mike, who's down in the lodge, could be the one guiding Dougie to hit these jackpots. All right, there's these higher divine intelligences leading Dougie on a journey. All right. Now, you'll notice also that, I love gambling a little. I don't love it, but I enjoy gambling. I like craps. I like blackjack. I like poker a lot. I've never been into slots. It's the lowest edge for the player, right? The house has the highest odds in the casino at the slots. So that's why I don't play them. And it's kind of boring to me, but notice the jackpot on these slot machines at the Silver Mustang are 888. I was under the impression the slot machines hit at 777. All right. Now, 888, I think, was chosen on purpose, unless that's common parlance in the world of gambling. And, oh, Isaac, you idiot. All slot. Well, I don't think so. But 888 is an angel number. All right. And if you look it up, it indicates prosperity. Which I find interesting because Dougie and now this like homeless woman, they're hitting jackpots. 777 is wisdom or luck, which I would assume is why the slot machines at the casinos use that number. Anyway, what is this higher divine guidance leading Dougie to wealth? What's the purpose here, right? Why is this happening? Well, we're going to find out later. The wealth that Dougie stumbles upon will play a role in the story a little bit, right? So he's in the casino, and he meets up with a guy he knows. This guy he knows, Bill Shaker, comes across Dougie, and he says hello, but obviously notices how weird Dougie is since he can barely talk anymore. And and Bill, he's wolfing down a glizzy. And Dougie wants a little bite, but he's like, no glizzy for you, Dougie. But anyways, he talks to Dougie, and he tells Dougie where he lives. Because remember, Dougie's like kind of just roaming around, call for help. That's all he knows. So listen to where Dougie lives.
I think he wants to go home.
Home.
Where is your home? Is that right?
He knows where his home is.
Well, where is his home?
Where home?
Oh my God. Lancelot Court. Your house has the red door. That's how I always find it. Near Merlin's Market. It's not far from here.
Far from here?
No, not far from here. It's maybe a $6 or $8 cab ride.
Cab ride.
Something must have happened, right, Dougie?
There's a whole line of cabs right out front.
Are you okay? Is he okay?
It was good to see you, Dougie. Gee, I hope he's okay.
I don't think he's okay.
He lives at Lancelot Court near Merlin's Market. These are, of course, references to the story of King Arthur. I don't need to reiterate how important that is to the storyline. If you've joined me on the Grey Lodge so far, you've already listened to the end of season two, where we unpacked all the mythology. And like we've suggested earlier, and of course the reference to Glastonbury Grove, which is where the entrance to the lodge is, but you've also got this idea that Twin Peaks The Return is like King Arthur's return, right? Cooper is the King Arthur character. And you'll notice that the door to the front door of his home in Lancelot Court is red. It's the red room, the red door, the red curtains. And it feels like this Dougie character is living in a dream world. And it seems like divine forces or entities are trying to remind him of his mission. Okay. Like kind of waking him up like, hey, you're in the illusion world right now. You're in the red room. You got to wake up. Or maybe this is just an artifact of what it's like to live in the red room for 25 years. There's elements of the allegory of the cave here with Plato's cave, the shadows on the wall. You know, like, what's real? We don't know. So anyway, management, they pull Dougie into the office. And they hand him this big bag of cash. They're like, we're going to get you a limo ride home. You want anything else? But Dougie, you know, he's just repeating phrases. And they ask him, you know, hey, did you want to call anyone? And he, you know, call for help. That's all he says. And they say, who? And Dougie says, who? And he says it very strange. It reminded me of an owl, like an owl going, who? And then Dougie looks up at the ceiling and sees a camera in the ceiling. And it's almost like he's gazing into space. Like it's more than just a camera. And the, not the pit boss, what do you call the guy running the joint there at the casino? They remind him, they're like, oh, we're watching you. And again, I think of the owls, right? The owls are not what they seem. And in all of season one and two, you see the owls like watching what's going on and sort of, you know, triangulating, whatever, right? They're playing a role there. So Dougie finally gets home to Lancelot Court, to his house with the red front door, and an owl flies overhead and gets its attention. Oh my goodness. And I'll put the images on the Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. Like and subscribe. But again, at first glance, you could just say, well, these are all just, you know, fanfare. This is reminders from season one and season two. This is what the Twin Peaks people wanted. In case you didn't know, I don't think Lynch and Frost really care what the fans wanted, right? I think they do, but I don't think they're going to give them what they want. I don't think they're just going to be like, look, let's just rehash this thing that did so well 25 years ago. No, this is something different. Challenging the audience. And, you know, good for them. Because I feel like this is something different. This is more about forces reminding Dougie of who he is as Cooper. And what is happening in the universe. What is Twin Peaks all about? You know, these overt references to owls and such, it's a little different this time around. Because in season one and two, they beat you over the head with it. They literally were like, yes, the owls are not what they seem. And this time it's subtle little clues, you know? It's a little different. So anyways, he gets in, and his wife, Janie E., she comes out. And she slaps his ass because he's been gone for 3 days. He missed his son's birthday party. He's got a son named Sonny Jim. But he's got this big fat sack of cash, and that changes her tune real quick. And she's like, "Where did you get this?" Dougie points to himself, "Mr. Jackpots." And the implication here is that through a conversation, it's implied that they owe somebody a lot of money, and now they can pay this person off. And this wasn't just a typical, you know, it's not the Checkamania high interest loan. This is something different. So then we cut back to the FBI. Gordon Cole meets with Denise, of course played by David Duchovny. And Denise is now the chief of staff of the FBI. And Gordon is telling her that they're headed to South Dakota because they think Cooper is in the prison there. And in this scene, we get another classic Twin Peaks line. I'm going to play it for you. Because Denise is giving Gordon Cole some grief for having, you know, this beautiful FBI agent Tammy go out and traveling around with him, you know, because she's this pretty young woman and he's got his thing. And, you know, and there's a little bit of an implication that Gordon Cole is kind of an old perv. But Cole tells Denise about how back when she, you know, and I don't know the right terms here, back when she was dressing up as a woman. Yeah, there we go. That's a safe way of saying it. Because I of course respect all the people and their expressions of what they want to do. But when she got a sex change, he told the other agents to straighten up. Take a listen.
Before you were Denise, when you were Dennis, and I was your boss, when I had you working undercover at the DEA, you were a confused and wild thing sometimes. I had enough dirt on you to fill the Grand Canyon. And I never used a spoonful because you were and are a great agent. And when you became Denise, I told all your colleagues, those clown comics, to fix their hearts or die.
Cole said he told the agents, fix their hearts or die. All right. Now, you'll notice right outside the FBI office, there's a black and white checkered floor. Of course, because there's a lot of overlap between the intelligence agencies, secret societies, and all that stuff. Anyhow, back to Twin Peaks. We're in Twin Peaks. We're at the sheriff's department, and Lucy, she's very confused by the concept of cell phones, which is actually really funny when you consider the joke being played here, because Lynch is pointing out how much the world has changed since they filmed the first season in 1989, right? And you'll notice in the waiting room of the police station, there's a pine cone, a big one. These pine cones are everywhere in Twin Peaks. What's going on? We also find out that Bobby Briggs is on the police force. Maybe you didn't see that coming. We also have some new police deputies. We've got a guy named Chad who's a real jerk. Maggie, she's on the dispatch. And Jesse. I actually got to meet Jesse when I was up in Snoqualmie. So shout out to Jesse, Officer Jesse there. Now, I'm going to play a clip, and it's really long because there's going to be several things going on here, all right? And what we're going to get is Chad acting like a jerk. He makes some statements reminding us of 25 years ago, again with the references to season one and two, but not beating us over the head with it. Bobby walks in. We get another cue from season one. He tears up looking at a photo of Laura Palmer. And then Truman and Bobby catch up with the log lady's ominous statements. And I believe that's... I'm going to play all of that right... Yes. Yeah. Okay, so let's go with the clip right now.
I thought that log woman was 1096 and not even allowed in this building.
That's on account of a kind of gum.
Well... I'll chew on that.
That's enough, Chad.
She gets messages from her log.
Pinocchio's friend.
Good night, Chad.
I'll go have a word with my pine cone.
back some memories. What's all this about?
Message from Margaret Lanterman to Hawk concerning Agent Cooper.
Cooper?
Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Yeah, I know. Cooper was the last person to see my father alive.
What's that?
Yeah. A few days after my dad died, my mom told me that Cooper had come by the house and talked to my dad. And I guess Cooper left town pretty soon after that.
Nobody's seen or heard of him since.
And my dad died in the fire at his station the next day.
And do you know what they talked about?
No. I have no idea.
There's a man out front. He says his name is Wally Brando.
So Chad implies that the log lady was banned from the building, and Lucy says, that's on account of a kind of gum, which I don't really understand what that means. But I do know that there was a whole reference of the gum you like coming back into style that they talked about in season two. And then that's also how Frost and Lynch announced season three was going to come out. On Twitter or something like that. They said the gummy lug is coming back into style. And, Chad's, of course, being a smart ass. So Truman tells Chad to leave. And he says, I'm going to have a word with my pine cone. Making fun of the log lady for talking with her log. But again, with the pine cone. Reference to the pineal gland. Like we talked about in, I don't even know, season two. So Bobby comes in. He sees they're examining the Laura Palma evidence, which is sprawled out on the table, and he starts crying. Now, something of interest here. Notice the photo used of Laura as the homecoming queen is very different from the photo used in the trophy case in the pilot episode. I didn't know this until, I stumbled upon this on the Reddit for Twin Peaks. I didn't realize that there are multiple photos, homecoming queen photos of Laura Palmer throughout the series, which is very strange. You know, there's the iconic TwinPeaksBlog.com has an article about it from 2019. And they painstakingly go through every photo of Laura Palmer in the whole series. And he refers to an interview that Brad Dukes conducted with photographer Kimberly Wright. Because I guess for a while there was rumors that this homecoming photo was a real photo of Cheryl Lee when she was in high school, but apparently that's not true. Kimberly Wright took these photos during the filming of the pilot episode. She also took the iconic wrapped in plastic Laura Palmer photo on the shore. Now, I do find it interesting. We see multiple versions of this photo, and Kimberly obviously took several photos when they were prepping for this. Especially back then in the interview, she talks about how this was pre-digital camera era, so you had to wait to get the prints back. So, of course, she took several and then, had it developed. So, it makes sense as to why there's multiple angles and multiple shots of Laura as the homecoming queen, but the real question is, why did they use that on the TV show? You think they would just be like, okay, this is the one image, and let's print off 50 copies, and we'll just use the same one over and over. That's not what they did. Could be something about multiple timelines. I don't know. So Truman, he catches Bobby all up. Log lady told Hawk he needs to use his skills to find a missing piece to the puzzle. And Bobby says that Coop, he tells his version of the events. He says, look, back 25 years ago, Cooper was the last one to see my father before Major Briggs died in the fire out in that station in the woods. And Cooper left town right after he met with Briggs. Like, that was the last thing they know about Cooper. Now, if you recall the Secret History of Twin Peaks book that we did a whole show on, we know that when Cooper met up with Briggs at the station there, Briggs knew something was wrong with Cooper. He's like, that is not Cooper. All right? He knew something was wrong, and he sent the Mayday instruction, which we don't know what that means. But that's how the book ends, with a Mayday. And at this point, Wally Brando, who is Andy and Lucy's son, comes by to pay respects to Sheriff Truman. And this is, of course, played by Michael Cera. Shows up looking like Marlon Brando from the 50s. And we find out that Harry S. Truman is his godfather, and he wanted to extend his best wishes, of course, in the godfather voice. And he talks about how he's been all over the country, and it makes him think of Lewis and Clark, which, again, Secret History of Twin Peaks. They had a whole section about Lewis and Clark being one of the first ones to stumble upon this Native American jade ring and the Black Lodge and the Red Room and all that stuff. He says, my shadow is always with me, sometimes ahead, sometimes behind, sometimes to the left, sometimes to the right, except on cloudy days or at night. And the shadow, again, a reference to the doppelganger. So, yet again, I mean, the title of the episode, folks, is Bring Back Some Memories. And surely it's because they knew that the audience would be like, what are we doing? I want to see Twin Peaks. I want to see Coffee and Donuts. And they kind of give you in a weird way. You want doppelganger? Here's doppelganger in the most strange way. And we, of course, cover the concept of the shadow multiple times. Season 2, Episode 11, Season 2, Episode 20, Season 2, Episode 21, the Season 1, Season 2 wrap-up. Countless times. And here it shows up again. So Dougie, he's back in his house, and he is getting visions of One-Armed Mike in the waiting room there, and he senses a disturbance. Mike says to him, you were tricked, now one of you must die, and shows him that gold orb, which is sort of equivalent to a spirit, from what we can tell. And apparently the problem is there's two Coopers in the world. If you recall from, I think it was the first couple episodes of this season, you've got this evil Cooper / Mr. C shadow who at the end of season two came into the real world and left our beloved Cooper stuck in the waiting room, in the red room. And now you've got Dougie, which we think is Cooper, but it's like he's dumb now. So there's two of them in the world, and that violates the rules, apparently. And this gold orb is, I think, is the Tulpa spirit of the first Dougie who went back into the Red Room a couple of episodes ago. All right? So it's like the Dougie that was sleeping with the prostitute Jade went back into the Red Room and swapped places with this Dale Cooper Dougie character. So maybe that Tulpa Dougie was supposed, when Tulpa Dougie that was, you know, when he was sleeping with Jade, the prostitute, maybe that Dougie is the Tulpa, according to that little gold orb. And he was supposed to stay in the world the whole time, and Mr. C was supposed to go back to the Red Room. It's also confusing. Nonetheless, after this visitation, Dougie looks in the mirror at his own reflection and touches the mirror. And I've heard that in a dream state, or like if you want to check for a one-way mirror, you would touch the mirror, and if you're your fingers touch, it's a real mirror, but if they don't, then it's a one-way mirror, apparently. But the mirrors are symbolic of gateways and portals to other worlds. That's what we see in the Alice in Wonderland story of Through the Looking Glass. All right. So is our Dale Cooper waking up? He's curious about the nature of reality at this point. So Sonny Jim, his son, sees Dougie and gives him a thumbs up. Dougie smiles and returns the thumbs up. Again, it's like old Cooper from season one with the thumbs up. Okay. Okay. Is this fan service or is it the universe working through various agents like Sonny Jim now trying to wake up the inner Dale Cooper that's trapped in the Dougie body? And if you look in Dougie's kitchen, there's an owl cookie jar as well. Again, images on the Instagram. And you'll notice they're eating pancakes. Sonny Jim puts syrup on Dougie's pancakes. And Dougie, he's got a tie over the top of his head. And he takes a bite. That maple syrup's hitting. Of course it's hitting because, again, bring back some memory, season one, when the maple syrup collides with the ham. Janie E. even gives Dougie some hot coffee. And he drinks it and spits it out because it's hot. And he's... And, you know, it sees what he's like, damn good coffee and hot. But he doesn't say that. He's Dougie. He's a mess. He just says, hi. Now, when you, the first time you watch season three, you probably think it's so annoying. I thought it was. I hated it. I was like, dude, what is this crap with Dougie? I want my Cooper. Anyway, back in South Dakota, Gordon Cole. And the FBI, they're headed down to South Dakota. They're going to the prison to talk to Mr. C, who they think is Dale Cooper. And we hear that Mr. C's vomit sent one of the policemen to the hospital. And we find out that he, in his trunk, he had guns, a dog leg, and cocaine. Cocaine, of course, part of the Laura Palmer issues from, you know, Fire Walk With Me. We confirmed that. So they get to speak with Mr. C, and he sounds really weird. And if you turn on the captions, the first thing he says is, it's Yuriv, very good to see you again, old friend. And you can see that on the captions. Reverse speech. Instead of it saying, it's very, very good to see you again, old friend, it says, it's Yuriv, very good to see you again, old friend. It's the reverse speech from the lodge. And again, like all of Twin Peaks, so many questions left unanswered. It's very strange. Why the one word? Why is he doing it at all? We've been introduced to Mr. C, and he's had a million conversations with lots of people. He doesn't sound anything like this. What's going on? And when he talks, it's like he's got these scripted responses, and he's got this weird deep voice. But Mr. C tries telling Cole and Albert and Tammy that he's been working undercover with Phillips Jeffries this whole time for, you know, the last 25 years. And he was actually on his way to Gordon Cole to present his findings. And he needs Cole to get him out of there. Cole's a little skeptic. Mr. C even gives Cole a thumbs up to try to convince him that he's Cooper. But Cole's not buying it. Not Gordon Cole. Are you mad? Dick, he's going to fall for this? So afterwards, Gordon Cole, they leave the prison and they have he has a conversation with Albert. He sends Tammy away because she's not read in on this level. And we find all about what's going on. Take a listen.
Albert, your reaction in prison to Cooper. I've not seen this before. Is there something you'd like to tell me?
Well, since you asked, and I can't tell you how sorry I am about this, I authorized Philip to give Cooper some information.
Cooper? Philip? What the hell? Philip Jeffries has been off the radar for years.
This was years ago, Gordon. He called me.
He did he?
I know. I thought Cooper was in trouble. At least that's what Philip said. Urgent, he said. Cooper needed this information urgently.
Did you talk to Cooper?
No.
What information did they want?
I told Philip who our man was in Colombia.
And?
A week later, that man was killed.
Albert. Hubbard. This business that we witnessed today with Cooper, I don't like it.
No.
Something's wrong.
Yes.
It could be the accident, but I don't think so.
No.
Albert, that sound you just made of your feet under concrete is like a knife in my brain.
I'm sorry, Gordon.
Albert, this thing has turned up to the max. Please.
I'm sorry, Gordon.
I don't think he greeted me properly, if you take my meaning.
No, he didn't.
So something is very wrong.
Yes.
Albert, I hate to admit this, but I don't understand this situation at all.
No.
Do you understand this situation, Albert?
Blue Rose.
It doesn't get any bluer. Albert, before we do anything else, we need one certain person to take a look at Cooper.
I'm right with you.
Do you still know where she lives?
I know where she drinks.
Now, it's kind of confusing, but from what we hear, we find out that Philip Jeffries had called Albert, quote unquote, years ago. How many years ago? I'm assuming, I don't know, 5 to 20? I'm assuming post-season 2, pre-season 3. Now, either way, Philip Jeffries called Albert looking to get some information over to Cooper. And Albert authorized Philip to give Cooper some information, presumably about the Blue Rose case. Or cases, I should say. Because he was under the impression that Cooper was out there somewhere and in trouble and needed this information urgently. So Albert told Philip Jeffries, in order to get the information to Cooper, about a secret FBI agent in Colombia. And that guy in Colombia ended up getting killed. So Philip, or whoever claimed they were Philip, told Mr. C, who is posing as Cooper, about an FBI agent in Colombia, and that man ended up dead. So Cole and Albert agree there's something wrong with Mr. C. And that's not really Dale Cooper. And they come to the conclusion they've got a Blue Rose case situation, and they need one particular certain person, a female, to talk to Mr. C. Who could it be? Who could this female be? Well, we're going to have to find out next episode. And of course, this whole scene is shot with a blue tint because it's a Blue Rose case. And the episode ends. They go back to the roadhouse. They're playing the credits. The band's name is Au Revoir Simone. I actually thought it was Haim, but it's Au Revoir Simone, which is a line in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, one of my favorite movies of all time. Au revoir, Pee-wee. Au revoir, Simone. Anyways, the lyrics to this song say, I saw the window was open, the cool air. I don't know what you saw there. Don't know what you saw in me. Sometimes I want to be enough for you. Don't ask. Know that it's understood. That's not enough of me. And what does all those lyrics mean? Made me think of Bob slithering through the window in Fire Walk With Me. I saw the window was open. I don't know what you saw there. Don't know what you saw in me. So that's it. That's it for Twin Peaks, The Return, Episode 4. So next time we're going to talk about, of course, Episode 5 called Case Files. So watch that and come back for more. Thank you for listening to the show. Till next time, stay positive.